Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm the best.
Damn straight. That's right.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mac Jones. Their sense is that he is further along than any rookie quarterback they've had pass through the system.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington. Coming up, 14-year NBA veteran Kendrick Perkins. Baseball Hall of Famer Rod Carew. Today's show co-host Craig Melvin. Plus, Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Baseball Hall of Fame great Rod Carew joins us in the middle of this hour. Don't miss that. It'll be always a great conversation with one of my favorites from growing up. And, of course, getting to interview him and getting to know the man. Craig Melvin of the Today Show with a beautiful new book called Pops, Learning to Be a Son and a Father with Father's Day Around the Corner, along with Keenan Allen, the sublime Pro Bowl wide receiver of your Los Angeles Chargers, will help us wrap up the show. But what a day in the NBA. Just when you thought it would be all about talking about the remarkable Kevin Durant performance last night that should clearly not be swept under any rug. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 48 minutes in a game in which Harden returns from a hamstring injury and shoots only 1 of 10. But we heard the fact that Chris Paul is COVID positive and is in a protocol. And Jalen Rose of ESPN saying that that Paul is fully vaccinated and shouldn't be out too long based on any expectation level of being vaccinated and what protocols will call for in the NBA, and the fact that the Clippers and the Jazz series may last all seven games until you heard the news that Kawhi was out tonight with a knee injury that Shams Charania of The Athletic reporting is feared to be the dreaded ACL. This is on top of the fact that the Wizards and Scottie Brooks parted ways and Stan Van Gundy and the Pelicans parted ways. What a day in the association. And joining us right now is one of our favorites covering the NBA from the worldwide leader in sports, Kendrick Perkins of ESPN, back here on the show. How are you, Kendrick?
What's going on, Rich? Appreciate you having me, man.
Always.
Thanks.
Always. You know that. So I'll give you the floor first. The news on Kawhi Leonard being out, what appears to be significantly, would mean what for the Clippers?
I mean that this series is over in six. And I hate to say it that way, but, you know, I just got to keep it real at all times with you, Rich, every time I come on your show. Look, the Los Angeles Clippers are not going anywhere if they don't have Kawhi Leonard. They especially are not beating the Utah Jazz. I had this series going seven games anyway, but now it's going six. I mean, because I don't think Kawhi is coming back. I think it's more serious than what people are saying. And I don't know if Paul George is that Batman that could carry this team and go toe-to-toe with Donovan Mitchell. We all know how Utah plays at home. They're going to come out fired up tonight. Role players are going to play better. That crowd is going to be electrified. I just hate it for Kawhi Leonard because he was starting to rise to the occasion and start to show us that Kawhi Leonard Jordan. He had just had one of the best dunks, if not the best dunks in the playoffs. And then here it is, he goes out. It's really bad for the game of basketball, for all the fans, because, you know, in a perfect world, we would like to see the Nets and Clippers in the finals, but it's not going to happen if Kawhi Leonard is injured.
What do you think is happening in wherever the Clippers are in that hotel room in Utah getting ready to play tonight? What does Ty Lue even say to this team, do you think?
Well, I mean, one thing about Ty Lue is that He's not going to shy away from the moment. He's a guy that is going to go out there and he's going to coach his tail off. He's going to preach and say, hey, look, next man up. I get it. Paul George, what are you going to do? He's going to call out Reggie Jackson. He's going to make the adjustments. He's going to put guys in position to be successful It's on them whether or not they're going to do it. But he's going to have them prepared mentally. He's going to lead the charge. He's not going to shy away from the moment. He's going to tell guys, hey, look, nobody's going to feel sorry for us. What you going to do? Who's going to step up? He's going to challenge those guys.
But even you, a 14-year NBA veteran, Kendrick, and you've been through thick and thin, and you've won one. I mean, you just basically wrapped it up. I mean, you stuck a fork in him, and I think everybody is too. And you could maybe utilize that, but, I mean, the players have it'll be a tough one to believe. It'll be a tough one to buy from the coach, I would think.
It would, Rich, but I'm going to give you a scenario,
please,
right?
Please, go for
it. In 2008, 2009, KG got hurt, and we didn't have him for the playoffs. But in our mind, we were saying, hey, forget that. We about to go out here and compete. And we actually took the Orlando Magic to 7 games, who they end up winning the Eastern Conference and going to the finals and then getting swept by the Los Angeles Lakers. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about your mentality. It's about having that dog in you. If you ain't got that dog in you, then you got a problem.
Kendrick Perkins, ESPN Hoopstream's co-host, as well as NBA analyst on a host of ESPN programs right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you think Chris Paul's thinking right now? What are you hearing about that, Kendrick?
You know, it's unfortunate, and I don't get it. He's vaccinated.
Right.
I don't understand everything that's going on. I don't know the process. I don't know, you know, if you're vaccinated, how long you have to stay in protocol. The good thing about it for the Suns is that they handled their business early, right? So, I mean, it buys Chris Paul a few days. And he needs the rest anyway, dealing with the injuries and his shoulder. But not being able to be around his teammates, not being able to be in that film room and be that leader and study in that film room, is going to kind of hurt the Suns a little bit. Because you have to understand, as remarkable as Chris Paul has been on the court, his leadership is unmatched and is invaluable for his leadership, for him, you know, you read those stories about how all the guys go to his house to have dinner and watch the games together and that camaraderie. And at this moment in time, when you're headed into the Western Conference Finals and you're about to possibly face a powerhouse like the Utah Jazz or the Los Angeles Clippers, you need your leader. So hopefully, you know, the Clippers push this to 7 games and it could spare Chris Paul a little bit more time, but it's going to hurt the Suns a little bit. I don't think dramatically. I think they're locked in. But I think overall, you know, you just hate to hear this news because the Suns were vibing so well. And CP3 was on a mission. And he still is on a mission.
I mean, let's be honest, Kendrick. I mean, as you just, and I think rightfully so, stuck a fork in the Clippers because Kawhi's out for the rest of this series. And then perhaps for a long time after that with an ACL injury, as it's being rumored and reported right now, that we're going to see the Western Conference Finals start sooner rather than later. And if that costs even Chris Paul 1 game, certainly in Utah, that will hobble the Suns' opportunity to gain home court advantage for themselves now that fans are all back in there. But let's place that aside even for a moment. And I want to pull on that string you just laid out there about Chris not being there in a film room and not there physically with the players and his teammates as they are going through the paces to get ready. What does that look like, a film room in the NBA with somebody like Chris Paul sitting in it? What does that look like?
You're adding another coach, right? So when a film – see, people don't understand, and – this is a conversation, another conversation that we can have on another time. But when I made the comparison and I said that, you know, people think that it's easy to win the NBA championship, it's not. And I made a comparison for us with football, and football players were telling me how much film room, how much studying they have to do, the playbooks, the film room. Well, when you're in the playoffs, guess what? You're having 2-hour film sessions. So as Coach Monty is sitting there talking, and Coach Monty is going through things and saying, hey, we need to do this, you may have a veteran like Chris Paul, because I've done it at times. I might say, well, hey, Coach Monty, You may have Chris Paul say, "Hey, Coach Monty, I don't know. I don't think we should be in the drop coverage defensively." And now you have an ongoing situation where you have a conversation within the locker room, and now it's like, okay, now Coach Monty is feeling, or Chris Paul may say, "Hey, I don't think Devin Booker should be guarding Joe Ingles. I think he should be guarding Bogdanovich." And then they have a discussion. This is the things that happen in the film room when you have a leader like Chris Paul that's on the floor. Or Coach Monty may say, "Well, what we're going to do offensively is I want to do X, Y, Z." Well, CP3 may say, "Coach, well, look, let's do this, but make sure let's tweak this so that we could get Devin Booker this flare on the weak side." Like, all this happens during the course of a film room, especially when your leader, the voice of the team, is in there. You have back and forth, but it's positive energy because everybody's just trying to get on the same page so they can attack that series or that game like they need to.
Kendrick Perkins of ESPN right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I know this is kind of an infused way to ask this question, certainly with Durant going off for 49 and 17 and 10 and, you know, the Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams soundbite from when Durant got the Clippers a couple years ago about how the come they couldn't stop him, and they both said, "Well, he's Kevin Durant." So yeah. I know that when I ask this question that I think is fair, though. What are the Bucks missing, Kendrick Perkins? It seems like there's just one extra gear that's missing with this team, or player or something. What do you see when you look at the Bucks on that front?
I see a dumb team, and I say that respectfully. they're missing the IQ. Like, I'm watching the game last night. One example, okay? Drew Holiday comes down, okay? James Harden is guarding him. He takes him off the dribble and goes to the basket with ease and finishes with a left-hand layup. All right, the next possession down, they get a stop. He comes down the very next play. We all know James Harden didn't look 50% out there last night. Mm-hmm. He couldn't move. And you know what Drew Holiday does? He pulls up for a jump shot. And I'm watching some of the plays, the careless turnovers by Chris Middleton and even Giannis. Like, the shot selection, the timing, like the possessions and valuing possessions and, you know, just some of the shot selection. I'm just like, they're missing the IQ all across the board. I'm watching this talented, athletic team just going out there and play like they're at Rutgers Park. And there's nothing really that a coach could do. It's the players. Like, Bud could put them out there and call plays and put guys in position to be successful. But as a player, if you don't have that basketball IQ, if you don't have that sense of urgency, then it's not going to work. And what we saw yesterday, we saw James Harden and Kevin Durant show their IQ and show how much of a floor generals that they were. They were head and shoulders above the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks are not lacking anything talent-wise. They have everything that they need. It's their minds. And I'm sitting up here saying, like, why did you try to throw that pass? Do you understand this is the playoffs? Do you understand that people study these certain reads and that they want you, they bait you into thinking that this pass is open, but it's really not? And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, they haven't, the Brooklyn Nets haven't stopped the Milwaukee Bucks from getting to the paint at all, but yet they settle for jump shot after jump shot after jump shot, and it's hard to watch.
Well, but Coach Bud comes from, as we all know, Pop Tree, and so, you know, what you're saying can't be news to the coaching staff. How do you fix that? How's that fixable?
I don't know. I mean, like, you could drill it. You could drill it. You could go to film room. You could call out certain plays. You could tell them, you cannot do these turnovers. This can't happen. That can't happen. And if they go out there and still do the same thing, it's like, as Coach Bud, you're like, what am I supposed to do? If you're trying to tell Giannis, "Hey, Giannis, how about setting a pick and roll? Get a ball up early. Go into a quick dribble handoff. Roll to the basket. How about this, Giannis? They want you to take jumpers. They want you to make a jump shot. You know why? Because the Brooklyn Nets, When Giannis makes a jump shot, watch the Brooklyn Nets bench. They start clapping. You know why? Because it's bait. It's bait. Because they want him to take more jump shots. So if I'm Coach Budenholzer, if I'm Bud, I don't really know what to say except, hey guys, let's go out here and play hard. Let's go out here and hope that we make shots because the IQ is not there.
Love it. I mean, this is why I love having you on, Kendrick. Before I let you go, best of three with the Sixers and the Hawks. Hawks have a shot here? Do you give them a chance here? What do you think?
They do. I believe it's going seven games. And here's why. I think, you know, when Philly dropped the ball, not closing out game five, Joel Embiid didn't look healthy in that second half. Now, how he comes out in game six, they'll be at home. Obviously, the fans will be behind them. The role players will play better. But it goes back to the Milwaukee Bucks point. The Philadelphia 76ers did not play smart basketball in the second half. And guess who they were missing? A guy that probably nobody thought that was that valuable to their team. A three-time champion that's on the sideline that wasn't there. And that's Danny Green. See, people take veterans, people take leadership for granted. But it is so valuable when you're trying to win a championship that you have a leader, someone that has been through the trenches, someone that is battle-tested, to be on the court so you could value possessions. And that's what I watched out of Philly. So with Danny Green being out, I'm looking at the Hawks and the Sixers, and it's basically like the same thing. It's two young teams with a lot of young players that's going back and forth to say, I'm going to outscore you or you go outscore me. Let's see. Because right now there's no sense of urgency defensively on either part. So what I'm looking at right now, the Hawks have a lot of momentum. The Hawks feeling good about themselves. And I see this game going. I see this series going seven games. I really do.
I love it. Last one for you, Kendrick. Pacers job is open, but so is the job to be the coach of Tatum and Jaylen Brown in Boston, Damian Lillard in Portland. You've got now Bradley Beal and Russ in D.C. That job is open. The job to coach Zion and Ingram and Lonzo is open. Which one would you want if you're a head coach and you have an opportunity? And which one would you take?
Well,
which is the most?
Well,
attractive?
Rich, I'm not saying this because I'm not being biased.
No, you're a Celtics.
I'm going with those two young superstars over there in Boston with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Look, one thing about it is that in today's game, coaches, it's like almost coaches' porn to be able to have two guys at the wing position like that. Two guys that could go out there and get you 25 a night, really have zero flaws, and they're under the age of 25. They're locked into contracts. They both could play on the defensive end at a high level, 6'7", one of them 6'10", super athletic, both of them. I mean, like, and they keep getting better. That's the attractive job. If I'm a coach right now, that's the job that I want to go get is that Celtics job.
Kendrick, thanks for the time. Look for my call again. Seriously, I really do. You make me smarter, and it's entertaining and informative, and you're terrific. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Rich, thank you, legend. I appreciate you having me, man.
Appreciate it. You got it. That's Kendrick Perkins. I follow him on Twitter. You need to see his real-time commentary, that's for sure, as well as listening to him on this show. So I guess if what the Celtics have is coaching porn, does that mean the candidate needs an OnlyFans site? Is that what you're saying?
Nice.
Over there, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to know. Did I get that right? Was that a proper reference? Is that a proper? Are you guys now denying knowing this stuff? Is that what's happening
when
right now?
When you say OnlyFans, what exactly do you mean?
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break and clean this up.
OnlyFans in the stadium.
Wait, guys, let's clear our minds because Rod Carew's going to join us. Let's get out of our system. One of the highest class individuals is joining us.
Are these
talking
hand
baseball,
fans
one of the all-time greats, Rod Carew, coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guests work is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. What do you think of Aaron Judge, Reggie? What do you think of him?
I think the same thing everybody else thinks. I certainly did not expect this kind of year out of him, but I did expect the success at the big league level and, you know, the ability to hit 25 to 30 home runs because, you know, we have a small ballpark now, and he hits a fly ball, a routine fly ball, and there are a few guys I played with that were like that. Strawberry did it. Luzinski did it. McCovey did it. Stargell did it. Dick Allen did it. Harper does it. Trout does it. They hit fly balls for them that come down on the other side of the fence. Balls that aren't hit good, according to them. Ballparks are too small for some of those guys. They hit a fly ball that it's when it settles and it's missed, it comes down on the other side of the fence. And those guys hit 15 of those. And then if they hit 15 balls good, they hit 30.
It's unbelievable, Reggie. And in this day and age, though, I've had a conversation with fellow Hall of Famer John Smoltz a couple of weeks ago, Reggie, that kids don't mind striking out as much these days. Did you have an all or nothing mentality? Obviously, we all know how many strikeouts you had in your career, but did that matter at all to you? Because there's a lot of hand-wringing over it today these days.
Well, I think I struck out too much, and I averaged somewhere 2,500 in 21 years is 125 a year. But that's too many. And I think for 162 games, if I would have played them, I'd have averaged 140 some.
Mm-hmm.
That's too many strikeouts. You can get by with it. Wow. Hold on. Let me take this call from Hal Steinbrenner. I'll call him right back.
Okay.
Hey, Hal, I'll call you right back. It's Reggie. Okay. Thank you.
Reg, I mean, seriously, you could take that. I mean, you could put me on hold for the boss. That's okay.
I can't have you hear what I'm saying.
Now, hold on a second, Reggie. Okay. Now, hold on. Real quick, though. I would not be doing my job if I didn't ask this question. If that was George back in the day, would you have been able to tell him?
No.
What you just told his son?
No, I'd have hung up on you. I might not even have told you. I'd have just acted like I wasn't on the phone. No, I'd have hung up.
Oh, man.
Now, if that was Hank, I'd have probably got off the phone because he'd have had some choice words for me, too.
Four summers ago at the great Reginald Martinez Jackson on our YouTube page and more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, NBC Sports on Peacock, as well as this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate. When this man says he wants to come on and promote anything or take my call in any way, shape, or form, the answer is an emphatic yes. 18-time All-Star. I'll say that again. 18 times made the All-Star game. 18-time All-Star Baseball Hall of Famer, and his book One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs, is now available in paperback. And Still Swinging is a weekly podcast that's going to be starting later on this month with a man who's now taking to Twitter and tweeting like a high schooler getting ready for the prom. He is Baseball Hall of Famer Rod Carew. How are you doing, Rod?
Pretty good, Rich.
You've been tweeting.
Enjoyed that conversation with you and Reggie.
That was good. Back in the day, we just replayed that for our TV-only audience, just getting ready for our radio audience to return here with you. And one of the things I talked about with Reggie, Rod, 4 summers ago was seeming to be just a new advent in Major League Baseball, that exit velocity was something so crucially important for somebody's ability to hit in Major League Baseball, or worthiness to hit in Major League Baseball, and making contact was becoming more and more extinct. Now it seems to be an epidemic in Major League Baseball. What was your exit velocity, Rod? Do you know?
I don't know. I didn't even think about that. I just thought about hitting the ball and hopefully it was going to land on the green stuff in fair territory.
Right. I mean, it just seems that these days it's a different style of hitting. What do you see when you watch Major League Baseball these days, Rod?
Well, you know, you're right. There, to me, the longest walk was on the field was home plate back to the dugout, dragging my bat if I struck out. Today, it's a norm. You know, everybody does it. They don't worry about it. And everybody's so caught up in the statistics that they're giving out there about the different things that's going on offensively today. And, yeah, you know, there are a lot of kids that aren't home run hitters that are trying to hit the ball in the air too much, not realizing that there are no base hits up in the air unless someone misses one in the sun. I don't like it, but young players today, it seems like it doesn't bother them.
What do you mean that the longest walk was from the batter's box back to the dugout after striking out?
Oh, what do you mean by that? Man, I tell you, there are so many things that would go through your mind. How did I miss that pitch? How did I let him get to two strikes? You know, what was I thinking? You know, all those little things. And I didn't like to have those thoughts in my mind. I just want to go back and have the positiveness that, well, you know, maybe he got me out now and I'll get him the next time.
Well, and then part of the issue today as well, Rod Carew here on the Rich Eisen Show, is not only is there just a lack of shame over missing a pitch and striking out, but there's now a whole conversation about what pitchers are putting on baseballs and how baseball's cracking down on it. Let's be real here. Were pitchers putting stuff on baseballs when you were playing, Rod?
Oh yeah, they use sandpaper. They use thumbtacks. They use everything, you know, and especially Gaylord. So I finally told Gaylord, I said, you can throw me whatever you want. I'm just going to try and hit it on the dry side, you know. But it's a long history of the game. And I don't know if you're going to take it away from these guys from the pitching part. But if you can't control that pitch, if there's some type of substance on it, you know, you could hit someone in the face or hit someone in the head, just like what happened to Conigliaro that year that he got hit in the face that ended his career.
So you wouldn't have a problem with pitchers putting stuff on the baseballs in order to get some sort of a grip, is what you're saying, Rod?
No, Okay. Didn't bother me. I didn't think about those things, you know. I figure even if he does, if he gets it over the plate, there's a good chance that I can make contact with it, put it in play, and get a base hit or two. So doesn't bother me. And you know, when it's cold especially, I used to love hitting in the cold because pitchers could not get a real grip to throw their good breaking balls, good curveballs, or sliders. So you saw a lot more fastballs in the early part of the season. So all you had to do was go out there and look fastball, and you know you were going to get a couple out of, you know, if he threw you three pitches, all three might be fastballs. So
I was a dead fastball hitter, so I was just looking for that.
Well, now these days, though, Rod, pitchers are putting a substance on a glove, allegedly, reportedly, supposedly, and then eventually on the baseballs that contractors use to mold cinder blocks together called spider tack. Would you have a problem with that? I mean, is there, I guess, a line between giving pitchers the ability to get a grip that's necessary for them and also for the hitter's safety, similar to what a hitter would use in pine tar to get a good grip on the base, on the bat? Is there a line that can be crossed to put something considerably different than what you saw back in your day, Rod, or no?
Well, you know, what I saw back in my day was guys running stuff up and down the creases of their pants or on their belt or in their belt buckle or on their hats. You know, so they had the opportunity to do all that stuff and still maintain some kind of safety in the game without drilling somebody or hurting somebody. So, you know, you also have to not take too much away from the pitchers. You know, give them the opportunity to be able to hold on to the ball and get a good rotation on the slider or breaking ball. So, you know, I just hate the complaining today. And just go out there and play ball and see what you can hit and just try and hit the pitch.
It just seems it's tougher to hit stuff these days. Shifts. Did you ever get a shift, Rod? Did you ever get a shift, Rod Carew?
No. I would have loved them to shift on me, especially since I hit the ball more up the middle into left field. Then I would become a pull hitter and just try and hit the ball on the ground and try and beat out some infield hits. But, you know, the shift I hate that they have today, I hate, because you have a guy in right field. Second baseman moves out to right field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're taking a lot of base hits away from left-handed hitters. And people are paying money to see these guys come up and, you know, hit the ball well to center field or left field and get their share of hits. But I would, if I was the commissioner,
yes,
I would say you go 5 feet off the infield grass and that's it.
Right. And then if you're designated as a shortstop or third baseman, you cannot be stationed to the right of second base from the point of view of behind home plate, and second base and first base vice versa, and that's it. You can't move it around. But I guess we're kind of circling around what is the issue with baseball in my mind today, Rod Carew, is that, you know, I know that the commissioner was focused so much on the length of games and pace of play, but it's the pace of action. It's the amount of action that is missing. You're seeing a bunch of innings where there's two runners on because of a walk and two outs because of a strikeout, and nobody's put a ball in play over the span of about 5 minutes. And part of that is not just a shift, but it's also a significant focus on exit velocity, like we talked about at the top of the show. And then whatever the pitchers are putting on baseballs, I mean, we saw 6 no-hitters in the first 6 weeks of the season, Rod. And that's what I'm saying, well, I guess, you know, is maybe a little bit of less of everything that I've just mentioned would be helpful.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, you've got to tell kids that can't hit the ball out of the ballpark that they have to make adjustments. They have to learn to go the other way. You don't see that in today's game. And so they're pulling the ball a lot, hitting balls right into the shift. And I've seen so many games where they should have done the job, but they're not concentrating on doing the job, moving the runners from second to third. How many ways can you score from third base with one out or no out? You know, from second base, it's going to be hard to score on a fastball to give you another run. But something should be done where it equals out for both the pitchers and also the offensive side of the game.
Rod Carew, author of One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs, available in paperback for folks who may not know your full story and want to maybe learn more about it. Curveballs, you're not just referring to, obviously, the 12-6 variety, correct, that was snapped off your way in the batter's box, Rod?
Yeah. Right? You know, Redger actually gave me the name for the book because I was going to have him write a little excerpt on the front page. And so when he said, tough out, I said, oh, okay, great. You know, you've given me the name of the book. And, you know, I appreciate it because I played with Reggie. I played against him, and he saw me as a hitter that I didn't give up. You know, I battled all the way through the at-bat, so I appreciate it. But it's a good book. You know, it talks about my upbringing. It talks about my youngest daughter dying from leukemia. Mm. And it also talks about the situation that I went through with having to get a new heart. And it's a book, I think, that will help people and let people understand that, you know, heart disease is like the number one killer in this country. And they have to start taking care of themselves. I was fortunate because I had a Widowmaker, and usually you don't live from that. So get advice and what you need to do to take care of your ticker. Otherwise, it's going to stop ticking. And you're not going to be here with us. So I've joined with the American Heart Association in trying to spread the word because I see too many younger people that are having heart problems, and they need to pay attention a lot more.
Just so much to learn about you and about life through the now paperback version of One Tough Out, Fighting Off Life's Curveballs. Who's the best hitter you ever saw, Rod? Ever? Would be who?
Well, one guy that I played with, Tony Oliva, because he could do so much. You know, he could take the ball to left field, hit the ball out of the park to left field, center field, or right field. Mm-hmm. And he was just a tough out. You know, pitchers would tell you that they would just hope that if they throw it down the middle that he'll make an out. But we roomed together for about 12 years. And so I learned a lot from him. I remember when I first came up, you know, the video system wasn't in yet. So we had a little Bell and Howell camera that we would take pictures of us during the course of a game. Then we'll go back to the hotel, pull the sheet off the bed, put it up on the wall, and watch ourselves hit. And so we were able to see some of the things that we were doing that we shouldn't have been doing. But Tonio is, to me, one of the best hitters that I ever played with or that I saw as a young player.
And we're seeing a photograph of him on screen as you were talking about him, Rod. And he's a left-handed hitter. He doesn't have any batting gloves on. He's not wearing the armor on his right, you know, on his right arm so he could lean over the zone, like all the stuff that we're seeing these days. It's just old school. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, they're talking about moving the mound back because they're trying. I don't know. It just seems that we need an injection of this.
Leave the game the way it is.
You know?
Leave the game the way it is. You know, Bob Gibson and Drysdale and Koufax and all those guys that have said, I'm going to test this and see if I can break it. You know, all the armor that they're wearing. That tells me that you're afraid to get hit, and it tells me you don't know how to get out of the way of the pitch if it's in the inner half of the batter's box. So they want to stand on top of the plate, then they need to get drilled and backed off a little bit.
So you're saying, Rod, Bob Gibson, rest his soul, and others that you have spoken to on this subject matter, to say that they would, you know, Koufax, that they'd come up and in and they see it, they try and break that armor? See if they can test it. They've said that.
You didn't see us wearing that stuff back then. The only thing we wore were batting gloves, but all the stuff that these guys are coming up with, no, not at all.
By the way, and let's just talk about the here and now, Rod. You seem to be enjoying Twitter quite a bit. I've noticed you've been tweeting quite a bit these days. Well, you like it?
You know, my son got me out of the dark ages. You know,
right?
And so he has me doing this. That it's good for you, gives you an opportunity to stay in the game, talk to the fans, answer questions, and And so I said, okay, maybe I'll try it and see what happens. And so far, it's been successful. So
yes, it has.
We're just going to keep going at it.
At @RodCarew_29. Oh, I would be remiss if I did not ask you this question, your thoughts on a subject or a certain individual here in Southern California who plays for the Angels. Ohtani is absolutely one of the most talented individuals I've ever laid my eyes on. I'm trying to tell my 12, 10, and 7-year-old that who we are seeing and what he is doing is truly once in a century type material that we are seeing. What do you think of watching him pitch the way he pitches and then hit the way that he hits, Rod Carew?
You know, it's amazing, Rich. I love to watch him hit, and once he's steady in the batter's box and he's not, you know, coming off the ball a little bit, he's going to get better, you know. And
that's crazy.
He can take you out of the ballpark, any part of the field. But when he does hit the ball, he hits the ball with some authority, and he drives the ball real well. He runs good, and then on the pitching side, you know, he's got a great arm, and he's just doing a fabulous job for the Angels right now. And I hope he keeps it up because he seems to be a good kid. And you enjoy seeing young players doing things like that. Bo Jackson was the other guy that I thought could have done, you know, the same thing, playing football and baseball and doing good at both venues. So it's great to see Ohtani, and wherever he goes, he's drawing people to the park. He's becoming a hero, you know. And love kids, that's all I think about. You know, Shohei Ohtani.
I love it, too. And so you look at him and you think he's pulling off the ball a little bit, huh, Rod Carew? You look at him and
you know, sometimes he slides that back foot. And then when he does, instead of keeping it firm on the ground, when he slides it back a little bit, you know, it just throws him off of balance. And he sometimes ends up pulling off the pitches that I think that he should be hitting.
Okay. I love it. Rod, truly appreciate this. Congrats on the book. Enjoy your pod when you start it, right? Starts later on this month. Still swinging?
Yes. Yes, sir. Okay.
Absolutely. I look forward to hearing it, watching it, people, listening to everything you want to lay down. So I appreciate it. Congrats on the book in paperback, and let's continue these talks. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Rich, and thanks for having me on. It's great talking to you.
Anytime. That's Rod Carew right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Told Gaylord Perry, throw the ball however you wish, I'll hit the dry side of it.
Rich, you were talking about Twitter.
How about that?
You were talking about Twitter and Super 70 Sports.
One of our favorite accounts.
We all follow and love them. They posted a picture last week of Rod swinging, and the caption was, "Every photo of Rod Carew swinging looks like it was a hit." To which Rod Carew replied, "It was left field."
To left field, right? Let me just do this real quick, because I called this up on during the interview. His lifetime stats. He struck out 91 times as a rookie in 1967, and then the only time he struck out 81 times 5 years later, and then the rest of his career he struck out in a season was 62 times in 1978.
In which he hit .333
Yep.
And led the league in hitting and on base.
Yeah, he led the league in hitting seven times.
Yeah.
How about the year he hit .364 Led the league with 218 hits, struck out 49 times. I'm telling you, man, if I'm starting a team, and I know I'd be fired maybe as the general manager in 2 seconds flat, I just want to get everybody who makes contact.
Put the ball.
Your number one job is you never strike out. You strike out, you're going to have to talk to me after the game. We're going to go over it. Like, literally flip it on its head. Not like swing from the heels and give me a 19-run home run. Flip it on its head. you make contact, you miss the ball to strike out, strike three, we're going to have a conversation. And get that throughout the entire clubhouse. And then get my star player, like Ray Lewis, having that attitude about making contact. Put the pressure on the defense. Make them make the play. Every time, every game, you're going to win more than not. I swear. And then, of course, get the pitching. But other than that, pitch well. Make contact. The Yankees in those Torrey years, every one of those guys put the ball in play. Hit. I don't even know if they ever had a league leader in home runs, ever.
No, they all hit.
Maybe many of them got 20 home runs, 25, 30. Yep. Jeter at the top, put the ball in play. Bernie, the big bopper, ball in play. Paul O'Neill, ball in play. Brocious, ball in play. Posada, ball in play. Of course, they struck out. Now all these Yankees do this shit. And again, I bring them up because that's the team I watch the most. If I put a team together, ball in play, then I'll be fired. Take a break. Back. This news out of Jacksonville blows my mind. Blows my mind out of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
What was your baseball game like?
My baseball game, actually my baseball game was pretty good, but I didn't play in high school. I played like recreational league in Babe Ruth.
Okay.
And I used to pitch.
Pitch?
Yeah.
As well.
Pitch and hit, yeah.
So what was your pitching game like?
My pitching game was pretty good. I mean, I didn't, you know, I was a heavy ball. I didn't know, I had no idea how fast I was throwing.
Huh.
But people used to say, man, you got a heavy ball.
So when you were watching you swing in Major League as Pedro Serrano,
yeah.
Is that your swing?
That's my swing.
Huh.
Oh, and I don't know if we ever talked about this, but okay. Every ball I hit out, I hit out, except not as far as they shot it out, because they have to reverse the camera.
Hold on a second, Dennis Haysbert. How many home runs did you hit?
I hit three in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. I think I hit three in the movie. I hit every one of them I hit out.
Okay. And all the batting practice you
oh yeah I used to hit oh yeah I used to hit routinely.
So were you the best hitter of all the actors in
I would
that
say
movie?
So I would say so. So Charlie and I were the only guys that could really play baseball. Wesley was really athletic.
Okay.
And could run, but wasn't much of a hitter.
He couldn't hit, but yeah. but could Charlie hit, or he was just
Charlie could hit, and Charlie could pitch.
But you went yard more than anybody else in the cast of Major League.
Except for the baseball guys that are out there.
Actual. So who is the worst?
Oh, I can't. I won't say
yes,
that.
You can. You absolutely can. That microphone works. Corbin Burnson, could he?
Corbin was okay. I think Tom Berenger was like maybe the
no
the
worst. Kidding.
Yeah. I love you, Tom. Yeah. He forced it out of me, man.
Were you superstitious as well? Are you a superstitious guy?
Not really, but I realized how superstitious baseball players are.
That is no of that there is no doubt.
I mean, I used to have a lot of guys come up to me and say, you know, hey, man, we used to play this movie on the bus going to the game. Mm-hmm. And I used to, you know, set firecrackers off on my on our bats to, you know, to wake them up.
Did anybody have rum? Did anyone incorporate
rum? They started using that. A lot of guys said they started
using baseball players started
using rum.
Do you have any artifacts from the film anywhere?
I finally got a Joe Boo doll. I don't have the original because I wanted to get rid of that because, you know, that was voodoo I was practicing. And I said, you know what? Certain things you got to leave on the set. You know, and somebody took that and I don't know where they are now because I haven't heard from them again.
Right.
So they took a voodoo doll, man. I said, okay.
No kidding.
No. Dennis, so I have a facsimile.
You have a facsimile of Joe Boo. Great Dennis Haysbert.
That's my president.
Don't say any more. Spoiler alert, even though it's still too long.
Too soon.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, back here on the NBC Sports on Peacock. By the way, this Father's Day weekend, you know baseball's coming to Peacock?
Did you know that? Really?
I know, yes.
I didn't know that.
The Philadelphia Phillies against the San Francisco Giants.
All right.
Starting Friday, the three-game series streams live from Oracle Park for free, only on Peacock.
Love it.
So, again, everyone should get the Peacock app at peacocktv.com to sign up now. Enjoy live sporting events, WWE, Premier League. The Tokyo Olympic Games can be followed on Peacock. Hit movies, shows, exclusive originals, and so much more. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up now.
U.S. Open on Peacock.
That's right. Hey, you know, is that do you think a team can just Bill, just if I own a team, I'm going to hire a general manager and say I want contact. I want contact. That's all I want is I want contact. Just a lab experiment. Put together a team. Make contact. Some, you know, people can hit the ball out of the park when you make contact.
True. Yeah.
I don't want anybody hitting over 30 home runs on my team.
Ooh.
How about that?
That's not going to go.
I don't want anybody hitting over 35 home runs on my team.
Ooh.
You don't want Pete Alonso to ever play for your team.
I don't want anybody hitting over 40 home runs on my team.
There you go.
I think you get what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Contact. Make contact. So this one, Dateline Jacksonville.
Ooh.
Beep, 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 boop, 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 like, again, I'm hacked off. Dateline Jacksonville. Brian Schottenheimer, son of Marty. He's the passing game coordinator. As you know, Darrell Bevell, last two, I guess, offensive coordinators in Seattle are on the offensive staff for Urban Meyer. Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator, passing game coordinator. Brian Schottenheimer was speaking to the media today, saying the starting quarterback situation, quote, "It's still too early to say how this thing's going to play out," end quote.
Okay, bud.
Yeah. Okay, buddy, cut the crap.
Nice try.
Saying that Trevor Lawrence is learning quickly. He's a true pleasure to coach because he loves it. You see growth from him every day. Compared his calm demeanor to a young Philip Rivers. Definitely not. An old Philip Rivers, definitely not calm.
No.
Young Philip Rivers. Let me say this.
Say it with your chest, Rich.
Let me just say this. On behalf of all the Jets fans who were hoping for Trevor, rooting for 0-16 so we could get him. Because that's what was required for the Jets to get him. They had to lose all 16, didn't. And you know. But on behalf of the entire Meyer family who watched Urban go back to coaching, on behalf of the Shad Khan family who got Urban to come out of coaching retirement to try the NFL, the quarterback competition is over. With all due respect to one of our favorites, Gardner Minshew, who cut his Burt Reynolds locks, right? He cut it back?
He did. He got a haircut.
A haircut.
Oh, devastating news.
I don't know. If Trevor Lawrence is not named the starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Where are we going? I got a hat under here.
Be careful.
Hold on.
Be careful.
This has nothing to do with injury.
Okay.
Out of sheer quarterback competition.
Just loses the competition. Gets beat out.
If Trevor Lawrence... And I'm not going to say if he's not starting week one because, you know, things can happen that he's not starting week one. If there is not an announcement out of training camp as to who's the starting quarterback, just to keep the Texans guessing for week one. And out trots Gardner Minshew.
Or C.J. Beathard.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew.
To start week one. And Trevor Lawrence is a fully 100% healthy human being on planet Earth. I will eat
Rich
any item of anybody's clothing in this room, including the guy who's driving around with his swamp ass that calls into this show driving his truck in his sweatshirt that I said I would eat if the Niners chose anybody but a quarterback in the draft. That's your starting quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, with all due respect to the competition.
You better pray so.
Trevor Lawrence. Hour three coming up.
Like any item?
Any item you name it, at any time, removed by anybody at any time.
What do you think over here?
It's terrible.
Rich,
I'm putting out there is a bad image.
What if Trevor just has a hard time like picking up the playbook and can't just like get ready
for it? Yeah, so let's start Gardner Minshew. Hey, Urban, you came out of retirement. We're paying you a gajillion dollars to come out of retirement.
A lot of dollars.
You could have been playing golf and been right every single weekend on college football on Fox. You'd have gotten your annual trip to Columbus two times a year. You could go back there where you walk on water. You win every week. You're coming out. You get to choose Trevor Lawrence first overall, but after all said and done, hey, you got to go with the guy who had a better summer. But you have to, if you're a coach, give off the impression that this is a competition. And clearly that's what Urban, as you know, he said that it wasn't a given. It wasn't a given when he showed up, when he showed up and on AirCon and stepped on on the Jaguar mat that they put out at the bottom of the steps of the Con Private Aviation. And then he strolled off, and then, you know, he's named the starter. I mean, he's named the coach, and it's the process. He, even when he came on the show a couple weeks ago, said that he had to call up Trevor after that Sports Illustrated article that made it seem like, football, okay.
Yeah.
He had to kind of kick the tires on him. Like, I think I know you. Tell me I know you. Because, you know, I kind of blew up my entire professional and personal plan.
Kind of.
I could be making the turn on any golf course in America, let alone the world right now, but I'm here with you. Getting ready for a draft.
Yeah.
And you got to say, hey, there's competition out there. Tim's 1-90. Tim Tebow's 1-90. Could be 1-53. Could be 1-46 on game day or 48, whatever the hell the number is these days. Got to say that. Got to say it, because coaches, by the way, the one person who's not going to make that announcement is the passing game coordinator.
Right.
It's still too early to say how this thing's going to play out. Oof. I'll tell you, it's getting it's getting late early in my opinion. All right, Trevor, let's go. LFG. Hey, man, Craig Melvin, Keenan Allen, and you, hour three.